Good morning, everyone. I am so glad to see you all again as you join me on this live broadcast. We are doing a live broadcast today again, so you can make comments if you so desire and let me know where you're watching from. Gives me kind of an idea of what the Lord is doing out there. We are wrapping up our week. This is Friday. I say it's my favorite day of the week. I have no idea why, except on Friday we got out of school. We got to go home and have a weekend as a kid. Well, I'm not a kid anymore, but Friday still seems to be the last wrap-up of the work week. Well, on this particular Friday, I'm going to talk about failure. Failure. One of the things that I did not like about Friday when I was in school was test day. Now, in our age of school, back in the mid-century, the last century, they actually gave you tests. Now, I don't know what's going on in this particular season of life, but every Friday was a test. And so you would find out on Friday, if you were listening, if you learned anything on the rest of the week. And if you didn't learn it, sometimes you had to do it again. So the Lord dropped this in my spirit for you today. Failures are just practice. I was thinking, of course, about a whole bunch of people that we've read about, both biblical people and secular people. The secular people, I don't know if there's very many men or women that have wealth unless they inherited it. But if they made it on their own, they probably had four or five failures. You read their stories. Most of them, by the time they have great wealth, have put out a book or something. And many of them have failed four or five times or have gone bankrupt or have lost their fortune. Now, when I say failures are practice, that means when something happens that doesn't work, what do? If you're a thinking person, or a person that has, cognitive power, you say, now, wait a minute. I turned left. I should have turned right. So I think next time I'll turn right and I'll find the place I'm going for. Rightly so, I suppose, say that men don't like to follow directions. They don't want to read the map. They don't want to look at the direction before they try to put it together. Probably true. So after it's all jumbled up, they say, well, maybe I had to go and look to see how this actually works. Now, why? Because there was a failure. Failure taught me that I need to read the directions. Life is so much like that, isn't it? When we hit a wall or we have a loss financially, relationships, even in our health, we say, I think I better take better care of myself. I think I need to have the doctor check me out. Why? Because something's failing in my body. Okay. Well, I think we got the point on that. How do we learn? Now, we don't just learn by failure. And I don't believe we have to fail to learn. But human nature says we do. So human nature says we do that. We don't have to, but we do that. I was reading about Tesla the other day, and he's the man who invented the electric car, right? Well, I don't think so, but they've named a electric car Tesla, haven't they? Tesla was a European, came over. He was quite well known, or at least well practiced in Europe, studied over there. His mother was quite a thinker and quite a smart woman, taught him how to memorize. So he exercised his already intelligent brain. He came over and he went to work for Edison. Edison, of course, is known for the electric light bulb and so forth. He came over to work for Edison and gave Edison a lot of inventions and so forth. But Edison invented the electric system in the direct current. Direct current of electricity, you had to have a power plant every mile and a half. And it was in New York, these huge power plants were right in the middle of the city. They were dangerous and dirty and so forth. Tesla came along, and after he had left Edison with some differences, he invented AC, alternating current. So instead of the current flowing one way, it went back and forth, and also around the wire, and so forth. So there was a big battle that went on. And they battled and they fought one another. And finally, the AC won out because you could go miles and miles and miles, unending miles. Didn't have to have power plants. You could send it to the farmer. You could put it to the next town. And obviously, after Edison lost that battle, there was a lot of bitterness between the two of them because of that. Now, the electric motor then, Tesla invented an electric motor with that same, that AC supported and was be run by the AC. And no one would pick it up. And of course, Edison fought it because he wanted his direct current to be sustained. And Westinghouse saw it at a World's Fair. Westinghouse saw it. He bought the rights for it. And it became the motor that was on all the machines and in all, anything you had a little motor, it was the AC motor, because Westinghouse took what seemed to be a failure, what everybody else rejected, Tesla had perfected. Now, Tesla, he practiced everything in his mind. He had all of his inventions, all of his discoveries, all of his light bulbs that went off. He would make it in his imagination, and then he would test it in his imagination. This goes way beyond me. He would test it in his imagination, and when it failed in that test, in that imaginary testing, he would fix that in his mind, test it again. So when he made the product, it was perfect. Wow. Does that ever preach? Every time I tell that story, I stutter, because it is such an amazing thought that we could have an imagination that we could practice in our thinking and in the playing out of something in the imagination, until when we actually stepped out and did it, we would not fail. The Word of God, the Scriptures, and the impressions that God gives us through the Holy Spirit are in that realm of the imagination, where we can walk out things in our spiritual enlarged imagination, where we see and we hear. We can go and do something in our thinking, and we can see it and hear it and feel it. I believe we can do that when we step into that situation, it's done perfectly. Well, that's a stretch, I think, for some. It's a stretch for our natural mind, but our spiritual mind says yes. Have you ever noticed that? There's things inside of you, say, I believe that, but then the old natural mind takes over and says, well, you've tried that. That didn't work. There's a phrase I really don't like. I was going to say hate, but, spiritual people don't hate. they just don't like something. been there, done that. It's supposed to be a cute statement. Someone says, well, let's do this. Been there, done that. And they say it in kind of a perk or smart aleck way, like, you dummy, we tried that and we failed, so don't even try. Well, that been there, done that needs to be gone. There's an exercise of the Spirit. Now, talking about spiritual gifts, I am now. How about stretching yourself out and having some practice? Let's shift gears here just for a minute. Practice prayer. Practice meditation. You say, well, I did that and I didn't hear nothing. Yeah, I guess I failed. No, it's practice. Practice tongues and interpretation. How do you do that? You actually say what you're hearing instead of standing there like a stone and refusing to utter a word. Speak out what you're hearing. You say, well, it might sound goofy. It might not be anything. Practice. Practice. When I first got my first inclination that I was going to give a message in tongues, I got one word, two words. Max. Okay, Lord, give me the whole sentence. Give me the whole thought. No, it doesn't work that way. He says, you want this? Step out on the water. He told Peter, come. Peter had to get out of the boat on the water before he could actually walk on the water. There's some things you need to practice, and you will fail, and you'll practice again, and you will fail. Probably am the best preacher in the whole world. Oh, you haven't heard that, huh? Well, my wife will tell you I am, so that's the only vote I need. Well, a little humor there, I suppose. But I do have confidence in some things that I do in the ministry, and I do them really well. Why? Because I've practiced for 50 years. I have done it over and over and over. Now, do you just do it a lot to get good in the Spirit? No, you walk by faith. No, you hear the voice of the Lord and you obey the voice of the Lord. Not just religious rote, not just religious duty, just going to march back and forth religiously. No, you hear the voice of the Lord and you act. When I first came into that, to the realm of the Spirit, we call prophecy and so forth, you know, the gifts where you hear and you do. It was an interesting thing. I was traveling through the on the West Coast, several revival meetings, as we call them in those days. And afterwards, we would pray for people, and the pastor said in about three churches in a row, how did you know that Mary had a marriage problem? How did you know if Frank was depressed? I just laid my hands and prayed what I was thinking. I said what I was thinking. And it began to show me that there was something breaking through called a gift from God. So what did I do? I had to practice that. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it now on purpose. And bam-o, blank. Why? Because I hadn't learned how to hear. I hadn't learned how to release. I hadn't learned how to shut the white noise out. Hadn't learned how to turn my own mind off and hear the mind of the Lord. Practice until after a while it began to work, began to flow, began to do. What are you facing that you need to do but are afraid to fail? What have you failed in that you need to pick up and do it again? I tell you, a marksman didn't just shoot one bullet unless they're a savant, you know, just right out of a package. They're really good. But a marksman shoots again and again and again until they figure out how that bullet is supposed to go and that gun works. There's things in your life that you need to repeat you need to step back up to the plate and swing again. Amen. When I played baseball as a 12-year-old, I was in the Little Leagues, hardball, and I wasn't big enough to hit past second base. They found that out quick. So they taught me how to bunt, and I became one of their best bunters. When I'd come up to bat, everybody would move close because they knew I was going to knock it just about, I don't know, halfway to the pitcher's mound and then take off running like mad for first base. And old Fred, he'd just come in from third and, you know, win the winning score. Why, they picked old George up off his first base and, you know, packed him off. Well, sometimes I suppose my memory's a little foggy there, but that happened. Why? Because I practiced bunting. I got good at something because I did it again and again, and I could bring it around and just let the ball hit the bat and dribble off. And while they were scrambling for the ball, somebody came in for on home. What do you need to practice? Practice your faith. Practice loving. Practice giving. Practice preaching. Practice prayer. Practice. Do it until you have that flow and you feel the release, knowing that you know how to walk the walk and talk the talk. Well, spirituality is not just doing it all the time, again and again. Spirituality is faith in God, isn't it? Spirituality is not just practice. You don't just do it to get good. You love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. And when you do, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Sometimes it doesn't feel like anything's happening. But if you'll keep on loving, if you'll keep on your faith, let your faith flow, if you'll keep on believing, you watch the Holy Spirit come around and change the course of your life. You watch it happen. It's an amazing thing when all of a sudden you click and you say, now I know I can walk the walk. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. I believe that was because he practiced his faith. He walked it out daily. He had experiences with God over and over until he knew that he knew that God was real. Well, this is Friday, and we're going to see you on Sunday night live. It's going to be a special broadcast Sunday night, so don't forget, 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We have some wonderful, wonderful times together. And then every morning of the week, many of you start your day, cup of coffee and George Watkins. What a mix. What a way to start the day. Love you guys. Thank you for your support, your thumbs up, your likes, and your comments. I just love your comments. You are so encouraging. Thank you for that. God's nudging you to send a gift. We receive it in the name of Jesus. And keep on chugging down the road. We will see you Sunday night. Until then.